broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
You know, Ted's of Beverly Hills is known for a lot more than just our steak. We have the most delicious sirloin burgers for the kids. And hey, what about our Frankfurters, too? Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's.
Something for everybody.
We wanna put our meat in
and I had some coffee here, Philly. I was going to say Frankfurters for your grandparents. That didn't make any sense.
And what's that?
I said I had some ad copy that was sent over by Johnny, and it said Frankfurters for Grandma a Frankfurter. That didn't make any sense.
For Grandma a Frankfurter, huh? Maybe, what is that?
I don't know, but I did not use it because I have a concern. You know, there's so much going on these days in terms of ad copy and reliability of sponsorship, and we want the audience, our consumers, I should say, we want them to understand that we endeavor to be honest with them. And I don't like anybody putting ad copy in front of me that I haven't been able to vet. And I got this ad copy that said, we got the ad copy here that says...
You wanted to move off of the steaks?
Yeah, move off the steaks and the sirloin burgers, and then it says Frankfurters for the kids and for your grandmother. And if you know what that means, I don't know.
No, I do not know what that means. And you're right not to read it. If it's ad copy from the ad agency, right?
Yeah.
We'll ask them, you know.
I will. I'll call them tomorrow. But I thought maybe there was something I was missing that you knew about.
No, I don't. I certainly don't. It does. It's a little bizarre. I would certainly call your ad agency tomorrow. But Ted Belf is with us, ladies and gentlemen, from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And we're grateful to have you tonight, Ted. I know that we're going to talk a little bit about parenting. And you come on the show once a week in your segment and talk about different things that affect us in this world. You've talked about being a restaurateur, but you've never really gotten into being much into being a parent. I know that you're the parent of a young adolescent.
My son, Josh, turned 14, Bill. And he is a freshman in high school. He's going to go to, well, I probably shouldn't say, but he's going to a private school. We're very, very blessed that we can send him to a school that's, I think, is going to be a little bit cut above, I guess, I suppose, some of the schools that one might encounter if you're going to a public school. I have no problem with public schools, and I want people to know that. I have no problem with public schools. I think that public schools are in trouble, and I think that's a bad thing. And I think it will long be one of the darkest commentaries on this generation of Americans, among the very many that I think are going to be said about this generation of Americans. This generation of Americans has not acquitted itself well.
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, look at the country. I mean, we've lost our sense of nationhood. We've lost our sense of community. The very best, you've said it, Bill, the very best people that we have are over in Afghanistan and Iraq. Those are the best Americans we have. They're not even here. The ones that are here, we don't support our public education. We don't support our public institutions. We don't respect the office of the president anymore. This Hank Williams Jr., could you believe that?
Well, Hank Williams Jr. said, if people don't know, Hank Williams Jr. said that Boehner and Obama golfing... because Hank Williams Jr. is a conservative and a Boehner fan.
Yeah, but I know he's a conservative, and I know he's a Boehner fan, but for him to say that Boehner golfing with Obama was like golfing with Hitler is beyond stupid. I think Hank Williams Jr. disgraced his own father.
And well,
I think he did. I think he disgraced Hank Williams. When you talk about Hank Williams, that's who you're talking about. You're not talking about Hank Williams Jr. You're not talking about some kid that Hank Williams had. And
Hank Williams Jr. has been a very significant success and significant presence in the country music community himself.
Well, now, Phil, let me tell you something, because I know a little bit about the entertainment business. You're right that Hank Williams Jr. has carved a niche for himself, but he is nowhere near. The giant in the annals of music that his father was. That's number one. Number two, he opened up his mouth and said something as stupid as anything I've ever heard anyone say And then he turns around and he says, I know that I'm dumb, and I know I said something dumb, but here's what I meant, and why didn't you understand it, you know? And I got to laugh when I hear those things.
Well, no, he didn't say that. I mean, what he said...
Well, he just about did say that, you know?
Well, he said, as so often is the case, when people say something that they didn't want to necessarily say the way they said it, let's put it that way, when people have a second thought, as is so often the case, they will say, here's what I meant. Now,
you yourself have said that that's an improper way of going about things.
Well, here's what my thinking is. If you are going to speak publicly and you have a public forum, you're a well-known person like Hank Williams, then you do have to think about what you're going to say, because you want it to come out clearly. You want it to be as clear as it possibly can be. You want to make your point the best possible way you can, because you can't take it back. You know,
that's my point exactly.
Well, what I'm saying is, you can't take it back. It's going to go out there, and it will forever be what it is. And all of the explaining afterwards isn't going to make it any better. Now, I'm not saying that that's right. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm not saying anything other than that's the reality. Okay?
Well, and so do you agree that Hank Williams Jr. is an imbecile?
I'm not going to call him an imbecile, because I don't think anyone who's come through the things that Hank Williams Jr. has come through and has made the success of himself that he's made. This is a man who suffered some of the most horrible injuries you could possibly imagine, having fallen down the side of a mountain when he was hiking once many years ago.
What did you say? He did what?
I said Hank Williams Jr. was, I believe, hiking, or he was doing some mountain climbing many years ago. I think it was in the 70s, maybe. And fell a significant... I'd have to get the specifics, but he fell a pretty long way, and he hit a lot of rocks on the way down. He was brutally, horribly injured, and it's a miracle the man's still walking around, you know?
Well, then I take your word for that. But if that's the case, don't you think he ought to think before he speaks? Don't you think this is a man who ought to bless every day that the good Lord's given him?
And I'm sure that he does, and I think that... Hank Williams communicates best with his music. He doesn't communicate well speaking. Most musicians don't. And it's one of the unfortunate aspects, I think, of the public arena, is that there's so many people that just go ahead and throw their hat in there, having little or no experience in what is going to happen to them when they say the wrong thing, as opposed to singing the wrong thing. Let's say it's happened to that what's her name?
You're talking about
the little lady from Dixie.
Dixie Chicks, Natalie May.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing.
All right, okay, but I mean, what I'm saying is, well, no, it isn't the same thing. It's different.
She came out and said Bush was Hitler or something?
No, she didn't say that. Look, I don't want to spend it. Is this what you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about Call of Duty, but I felt that it was, it was my Call of Duty to make a, what was that? I just heard something.
I hit a button here on my wave card. I'm sorry. It was on a computer. You want to talk about Call of Duty? Why?
Well, I want to talk about Call of Duty, and I'm afraid that I've launched into this whole thing on Hank Williams Jr., and we can do either one. We can talk about Hank Williams Jr., we can talk about Call of Duty. I feel very passionate about both, and I feel that Hank Williams Jr. I really am very strongly inclined to feel that he's disgraced himself and his father with this reference to Hitler. I think that Hank Williams, if he represented anything, is one of the great country artists of all time, and a man that wrote some songs. Hank Williams wrote a song that I think is the most beautiful song I've ever heard, and the most poignant song I've ever heard. And when I think of that song, and then I think of his, and excuse me for saying this, Phil, and I think of his dumb kid saying, yeah, Hitler, hey, I want to cry.
And what song are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of that beautiful I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry is the name of the song.
Yeah, that's a great song.
It is. It's a Hank Williams song. And I think of how lovely that song is and what a soulful song that is. And then I think of this dumb kid he had sitting there with that in the lowest. It couldn't have been lower from where Hank Williams was as a man to where his son found himself sitting there with this sitting on this stupid show talking about Hitler.
Well, let's not make it into something that it isn't, man, okay?
I don't know. What do you mean, make it into something that isn't?
Well, let's not make it into the lowest thing that's ever been. He misspoke, as we like to say these days.
No. He didn't misspoke, or he didn't misspeak. He meant what he said.
He meant what he said. He also admitted that it was an inelegant thing to say. He also said that he has respect for the... In other words, like I said, I mean, he reacted the way a lot of these people react. You know, you say something dumb, 24 hours goes by, and you go, uh-oh. You look at the reaction, you realize, oh, man, I, you know... See, controversy here, there's two sides to this thing, and there's a double-edged sword, as they say. Controversy can get your name in the paper, and it can get you a lot of fans. It can also get a whole lot of people hating your guts. So let's get back and talk about this with Ted Bell. All right, Ted?
Well, I want to get in a call. But, yeah, I feel like I need to. I've got to unburden myself with this guy, Hank Williams Jr., and what he's done to ruin at least part of the perception that a lot of us have, that good perception a lot of us have of the country music.
All right. Our number is, I don't think it ruins country music at all. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have Ted Bell with us from Ted's in Beverly Hills. And we're talking at first here, anyway, about Hank Williams Jr. and his comment. If you heard the comment, and you'd like to comment, 877-876-PHIL, if you didn't hear it, it was essentially this, that Boehner and Obama were golfing. Apparently they had a golf match together, and he said, well, for Boehner to go golfing with Obama is similar to golfing with Hitler. A really extreme and ridiculous thing to say, and it got him fired, his song taken off of Monday Night Football on ESPN. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
And that song was terrible. It was terrible. You there, Phil?
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I just got on the phone, Margaret Gray. She's on her way to, I think, a movie premiere with Frank, but I got her on the phone. She's going to sing that beautiful Hank Williams song for us, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. I had to rush that.
That's okay. You did good.
That sounded okay?
Yeah.
Because I said, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, and I...
You don't have to rush it. We'll pull it down and...
I'm sorry?
We'll pull it down. We'll pull the level down so you don't have to rush it.
Well, I wanted, and I don't know if she's on the line or not...
Margaret, are you there?
Yes, Phil. I'm Frank. We're on. I'm sorry, Phil. We're on our way to a movie premiere. A very dear friend of mine, her son has made a documentary on life in the Middle East, life for women in the Middle East. It's a treatment on the Palestinian women, and he was. Not in the Middle East. He based this all on films that he has seen. But I think it is going to be a very compelling piece. It's on the life and the oppression of Middle Eastern women. And
he hasn't seen it. I mean, he hasn't been there?
What did you say? He hasn't seen it?
No, he hasn't been there?
No, he's never been to the Middle East. But he's based the film. It's a documentary. He's based it on a number of films from the Middle East, Middle Eastern culture, and so forth.
Such as? What, do you know any?
I don't know, Frank.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves.
Yeah.
So it's a documentary on the life of women in the Middle East.
Based on Lawrence of Arabia and Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves.
I don't know, Phil. I'm here for the movie. A friend of mine invited me.
All right. Ted?
Margaret, hey, Ted Bell.
Hi, Ted. How are you?
I'm good, Margaret. Listen, one of the most beautiful songs that I've ever heard, and I know that you like the song, and I was wondering if you would sing it, is I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Oh, my God. I love that song. Frank, you know that song?
Black Spot. And she was great. Hank Williams was one of the best that I'd ever seen. She sang so wonderful.
Let me have the phone. Frank has gender confusion, as you know, Phil. And
yeah, I know that.
Let me sing I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. Was there a reason you wanted me to sing that?
Well, we're talking about Hank Williams Jr. and what he did. You heard what he did, right?
I did hear. It was very unfortunate. And I said this so many times. I don't know why they let... And I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, but I don't know why they let a lot of these hillbillies loose with their opinions and their... I think you really have to keep a tight rein on some of them. And
all right, look, Margaret, instead of getting into a whole situation here, do you want to sing the song?
What do you mean a situation? I was giving an opinion.
Yeah, she was telling me about...
I understand that, but I otherwise we're going to get off point...
I'm talking about Hank Williams Jr., who I heard what Ted said. I think he's disgraced his father. I think he has disgraced a lot of his fans. I think his statement about Hitler and Obama was so asinine and so beyond the pale of anything that one could consider to be scholarly or thoughtful or even remotely intelligent that I am loath to even continue talking about it. So I guess you're right.
All right, well then why don't you sing the song?
All right. So this is the song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. It's a lovely song, and it goes like this. And I do want to give you the correct reading on this film. I have heard it sung a lot of different ways, and most of the time they're bad. This is really the country feel that you want to give it. Hear that lonesome whippoorwill, the sounds to bluebirds fly. The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
God.
What did you say?
That God.
Oh, why don't you shut up? Are you there, Phil?
Yes, I am. Ted?
What?
Oh, well, don't give me that. You guys, you don't know a thing about country music.
No, I'm not saying... All I'm saying is you went... What is that?
I didn't go... I didn't sound like a steer being stabbed.
Well, Margaret, I do love your singing, but Phil's right. What was the... What was that?
That is a very, very standard device used in country singing. I am shocked that both of you would use that as an excuse to attack me.
And no, I'm not. I'm just trying to learn a little bit, I guess, about how to sing country songs.
Well, go ahead and say it. It blew steer.
Oh, I bet.
Here's the second verse. I've never seen a night so long when time goes crawling by. The moon just went behind the clouds to hide its face and cry. Do you see how I changed up the melody?
Yeah.
You know what? Let's go.
What happened?
They're both...
Margaret, it was lovely. You know, I...
No, it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
And all of that jazz.
Margaret, this is Ted. I love your singing. You know what?
If you say that one more time and not mean it, I will have Frank turn this car around, drive to your restaurant, and I'll stick a knife in your eye.
Wow. Ted, are you there?
I'm here. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, but I can tell you that what I heard her do was something
it's a country thing when they do that.
Is that yodeling?
Well,
yeah, that's what it is, Mr. Bell. Call a yodel.
It is yodeling. Okay, thank you very much, bud. And
well, it's not exactly yodeling, because yodeling is that whole...
No, I know that, but I think what she was doing is she was giving it a yodel, what do they call it, a yodel?
She was attaching a yodel to it, or a yode.
Yeah.
What do you mean, a yode? You don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't. What do you mean she was attaching a... And turn that fan off, will you, for God's sake, man. I told you it's noisy in the room when you have that fan on.
Well, Bill, you know...
Yeah?
Well, I hear your music.
Yeah, we got to take a break. Hold on. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. What do you think of Hank Williams, Jr.? Do you think he should be run out of the business because he called Obama Hitler? I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We do have Ted Bell on the line from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Right now we've got a call back from Margaret Gray, and I do apologize, Margaret. I wasn't trying to offend you. I'm sorry. I just wanted to move it to the other segment because we had something else we were going to talk about, you know.
That, Phil, and the reason why I called back is because I've known you for a long time. I like you. I think you really need to. I think you need to. And I'm saying this with as much kindness as I can. I think your manners need to be worked on. I don't care if Ted Bell is on the other line, Phil. Ted called me and wanted me to sing. I've been a professional singer, and so my time as a singer is valuable. Now, he wanted me to sing the song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. It's a Hank Williams song. It is a loved and well-known country song. It needs a yod. You have to place yods at the third and fourth stanza. And
what, can I interrupt?
What?
What is a yod?
The yodel that you were talking about. Bud was talking about it.
Yeah, the yod's when you go like that.
Well, no, it's not... That's an abortion. But what he just did is the equivalent of something you'd hand to President Clinton in a McDonald's box. All right? And I think you know where I'm going with that. And
no, you know something? That's grotesque. All right? You can use the word abortion if you want.
Well, I don't want to be talked to that way. Now, I was asked to come on.
I understand that, but I don't like you coming on and saying, you know, the way that he did that, just say it sounded bad, okay?
I'm going to sing this song, and I want people to listen, and then I have to get into this premiere, if you don't mind.
Hurry up, please.
Hold on, Frank, all right? Keep your shirt on, all right?
Well, I've got tickets, and I want to get a drink. I've been looking forward to a drink all day. And I'm waiting here listening to you.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. Hey, Frank, you know, you're pushing it. You're really pushing it.
I want a drink.
You'll get your drink. Now stand there and shut up. All right, are we ready to go, Phil?
You know, as I've said to the Dooleys, and I'm saying this to you, you know...
No, don't bring the Dooleys up to me. Don't go there. Don't you dare bring the Dooleys up to me. Don't you bring up that mountain trash to me. Don't bring up that woman with her capris. I'm talking to Frank Gray, not to Steve Dooley. All right, are we ready?
Go ahead.
The song needs a yod, and here is I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. It is Ted Bell's favorite. I don't know if Ted's on the line.
Yeah, right here, Mark.
Okay, very good. Here we go. Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is a whining low.
Will you come on, for God's sake?
Hold on for a minute. You dirty old...
Ow, that hurt.
Yeah, that'll hurt all right. You ever interrupt me again?
Margaret, I can't have that on the air.
Well, you know what, Phil? You got it on the air, okay?
All right, that does it.
Oh, no, Frank, not the face. Frank, not the face. Not my face, Frank.
You hit me, huh?
Oh, Frank.
You know something, Margaret? You are all alike. All alike. I talked to Barzini. He said I could make a deal with him and keep the casino. You know who I am? I'm Frank Gray. I made my bones when you were going out with cheerleaders. Oh, Frank.
you do that yod one more time, would you ever do that?
Henry, you there?
Yeah, Frank.
Get out of here, you...
Well, what happened to him?
I don't know. I lost Ted Belcher. Everything's going to hell. I wasn't doing everything.
Get a hold of yourself, will you? Get a hold of yourself. Call Ted back. Robert, you have the... I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We had a little bit of an issue. Robert, you got the board?
Yeah, I got the board right now. I'm probably going to... Here, I know what to do. I'll put this up.
We'll get Ted back on.
Ted of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, Mr. Bell, you're on now.
Come on.
You're
on,
go. What do you mean, go? Ted Bell here. I'm not ready to go. What is he talking about? All I heard was Frank Gray getting beat up.
No, it's... What do you got there?
Oh, Frank.
Turn that off, will you?
I got that open line to the Grays.
Hold on, I want to hear that. Is that Margaret? Margaret, are you there? Oh, Frank. Is that Margaret Gray?
Yeah, Margaret.
Hang the phone up.
Okay, that's... I don't know what happened. She said Frank, not the face, and...
Again, I knew that. You know, every time she says that for pity, I don't think I don't think he'd lay a hand on her, but I think she says that for effect. I gotta tell you though, I don't blame Frank for being upset with her because that song was atrocious. I don't know what she's trying to do, what she's trying to prove, what she's trying to do to me, but that is not the song that I remember.
Margaret has a way of singing things.
You better believe she's got a way of singing things. She's got a way of carving things anew. You know what? She's got a way of destroying things. If you look at that song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Can we get off that song now, all right? Are we going to make the whole hour about a Hank Williams song?
Well, you were talking to me about the guy saying things about Hitler.
He said he made the comment. First of all, it ain't him. That's his father's song.
I know that.
Okay, then what are we butchering a Hank Williams song for? When we're talking about Hank Williams Jr., that's number one. Number two, Hank Williams Jr. said a dumb thing, and that's where that's at. Now, whether or not it's going to, I don't think it's going to hurt his career, but obviously he's not on Monday Night Football any longer. You know, and I think that the controversy or the commentary or the discussion or whatever you want to call it has to do with, you know, shouldn't people be clear?
I think they should, and that's my point. I think that if you're going to say something, then be clear, and no, you don't get a pass, and no, you don't get to say, well, you know what I mean, and people misunderstood me on purpose, and people are making a big... No. When he said what he said, the first thing I thought of was, if you ever hear the whippoorwill, the song that Margaret was, you know, trying to sing with that yod, I don't think you're supposed to yodel.
Yeah, you're probably not supposed to yodel on it.
Yeah. Check and see if...
Will you get off the yodel, okay? Never mind the yodel.
Didn't say yodel. It's a yod effect. You go, that's called a yod.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. There was one other thing you wanted to talk about, and we haven't even gotten into it, and that is the new Call of Duty game.
Yeah, the new Call of Duty game, Phil, and this is what I wanted to talk to you about. The new Call of Duty game is a game that is going to be played by adolescents all over this country and young adult men and probably fully grown men. One of the great tragedies of the American cultural life these days is that we've got grown men playing these video games. I understand kids playing them, and I understand, I guess, young men. But when you have 30- and 40-year-old men sitting there and playing Call of Duty and fantasizing that they're in a war, there's something basically wrong with that.
And well, it's a game.
What do you mean it's a game? It's a war. It's war.
Well, it's not really war. It's a game.
No, I know that, but they're fantasizing that they're all of a sudden some badass. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that's not the problem I've got with the game. The new Call of Duty that's coming out has a gay soldier, and I am concerned as to how to deal with that with my son.
And the new Call of Duty has a gay soldier.
Yeah, one of the principal characters is gay. Now, I know that that this is now the law. I know that now we have gays in the military. I didn't know they'd start putting them into Call of Duty games, but I guess they have. What do I say to my son? How do I deal with that?
Well, I don't know. It depends. I don't think there's anything you do say. How do you know that the character is gay?
Well, at some point in the game, you find out that he's gay. And I don't know what that is, and I suppose there are jokes that we could make, but I think this is a serious issue that when your kid is playing this game, this Call of Duty game, and suddenly it is made known to the kid that one of these characters is gay, which in essence breaks that fourth wall, because now the character stares back through the screen at your own kid, and the character's looking at him like, how you doing? Not only could we be friends, but you and I could be married. Do you understand what I'm saying?
And no, I don't understand. First of all, your kid, you're talking about your kid as an underage child.
Right.
Well, that's got nothing to do with being gay. That's someone who's a child molester.
All right, well, then let's talk about an adult. If I was playing that game, if I relax, sometimes I do. I don't do it that much. But if I'm sitting there and I'm relaxing and I'm playing my son's Call of Duty game, and what's that? No, get him out of here. I got two customers giving me a hard time with a kick. Was it? Yeah. And if it's the Gray, if Margaret or Frank Gray, I want them thrown out. I want them thrown out, and I want them thrown out very visibly. All right, Philip.
Why are you doing that? Why are you saying that?
I've had it with them.
Well, are they at your restaurant?
No, I'm just saying, if it is. Yeah, there wouldn't be, but... knowing that they're not here, I can say that. All right, so here, the point is, if I was playing that game...
Knowing that they're not there, you can say that. All right.
Yeah. So the point is, if I was playing that game, I'm Ted Bell, and I'm playing this Call of Duty game, and I look, and I see the gay character looking back at me, he's not just seeing me as one of his comrades in this battle. The gay character in Call of Duty is seeing me now as some sex opportunity. And that is an invasion of me. That's an invasion of not only... It's an invasion not only of me psychologically, but it is a invasion of me physically, even though it's not going to happen, because I'm reduced to that. I'm reduced to a sex opportunity for this character.
Well, I mean, Ted, you're taking, first of all, you're taking this game Call of Duty and this gay character, you're taking it to a real extreme, aren't you?
Well, I think we have to. If you're looking at a game and you know that your kids are playing this game, and you know that there's a gay character in it, I think you got to take it to the extreme. I'm not saying that my kids are going to be molested or anything. I'm not talking about that.
Well, let's keep it on the adult level, because I'm really very, very uncomfortable, and I think it's extremely unfair. Every time we talk about gay characters doing anything, people always boil it down to child molestation, and that's a slanderous thing. Most child molestation is done by heterosexuals. Let's talk about...
All right, fine. You know.
Let's talk about adults that are playing a game.
All right. If it's me.
If it's you. You're playing the game, and there's a gay character.
Yeah, there's a gay character. And as the gay characters will do, or as any character will do, they'll look back at you because you're part of their little team. Only this one's staring at me, you know, it's gay. Do you understand what I'm saying?
What staring at you? I don't understand.
The makers of the game have got to make it gay, don't they? If the character's gay, don't they have to make it gay?
Yes.
All right, he's going to check me out. Isn't he going to look me up and down?
How does the gay character on the screen know he's looking at a man?
Well, it stands to reason, because most of the people that play Call of Duty are male. Get a grip. Who's going to play it that's a woman? All right.
Well, maybe there is a woman.
Well, I guess it's her lucky day. There's a gay guy looking at her. But you know as well as I do, most of the people that play Call of Duty are men. And if they have a gay character, the gay character turns and says, "Hey, look at the." I don't know if it, you know, but it's looking at you like, "Hey, look at the new me," you know. And I don't want to be in the position of being looked at by something on the TV set like that. I understand it sounds a little silly.
Silly? It sounds almost as if you're fantasizing.
Wait a second.
What I'm saying is, you're having to concoct a whole situation here. You haven't even seen the game, have you?
I don't know I don't know what Call of Duty, what exactly is in the game, but I will tell you this. I think it should be a concern to any parent. All right, not parent, if you don't. I think it's a concern. There's a gay character.
It's a concern to who?
I think we should know that it's gay.
You're taking this to the child molestation level.
Well, I'm just telling you, I think that it's a gay character, and any guy playing the game, any adult guy playing the game, ought to know that that character on that screen is going to be looking at you like you're just some, you're not his comrade so much as you're another possibility that he's got to kind of file away for the day. I don't know.
Okay, we'll take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. Call of Duty has a gay character, according to Ted. And does that mean that it is some kind of a sexual harassment if this gay character is somehow staring back at you through the screen? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Take any phone calls on this show?
What?
You take any phone calls on this show? Have you got anybody out there that's listening?
Yeah, we take phone calls, man, when they want to call in about something.
Well, you know, I'm sitting here waiting for somebody. Let me ask you something. Is your audience... You know what your problem is, Phil? You're on a lot of radio stations where there's a lot of old people, and I think they pass out about an hour into your show.
Okay, Ted, you know what? I don't need your commentary, all right? We're doing the best that we can here. We're appreciating...
No, I'm not trying to say anything. I think you've got a lot of... I think you're on a lot of stations where it's like the demographic is death plus 100.
And okay, man. All right, I heard you.
And I think a lot of these old people can't get to the phone.
All right, I heard you. Do you want to keep on talking about the functionality and the operation of my radio show, or can we keep talking about what you know something about, which apparently is Call of Duty and gay characters?
Wow, boy, that's a...
Oh, come on, you brought it up.
Well, that doesn't mean that that's my thing.
You brought it up. I didn't say it was your thing. It's the reason why you came on the program. All right.
I came on the program, Phil, because I wanted to talk to you, number one, about what not Ted Williams. What's the guy's name?
Hank Williams Jr.
Not Hank Williams Jr. Who's the the big singer, Hank Williams?
What's he got to do with it?
He's the guy that sang "I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry." Isn't that the guy?
Yeah, but the news story was
no. You're right. It was about the son, but I wanted to talk about the Hank Williams. Singing that song, "I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry," because I love that song, and his son has destroyed it for me. And I asked Margaret Gray to call in and sing it, and she destroyed it further.
Well, that's your problem for calling up and asking her to sing it.
Well, the point being that it was a song that I always liked. I think that when Hank Williams started talking about Adolf Hitler, that was the end of that, you know. So are you going to get any phone calls, or what happens in your show?
We don't have any phone calls from people who want to talk to you.
So that's it, huh?
No, I mean, they don't want to talk to you. Maybe the stuff you're talking about's not interesting enough.
I know. I'll tell you what it is. I think you're on radio stations where only 900-year-old people listen, and they can't get to the phone. I don't think you're on any really, you know...
That's it, Ted. Come on my show and trash me while I'm having an entire hour I'm devoting to your lousy restaurant.
My lousy restaurant?
Yeah, well, if you want to come on here and start ripping into my show...
My lousy restaurant. I'm paying money for this.
Hey, man, I'm sitting here working my ass off trying to do this show. Don't talk to me about my radio stations and the listeners or anything else.
I came on your program because I wanted to... The song goes, "You hear that lonesome whippoorwill." You know the song, okay?
Yes, I've heard it about 9 million times this hour.
Okay. And that woman called up and she ruined it.
Well, you wanted her to sing it.
Yeah, but she was singing like and all that stuff. You're supposed to sing like this. "Hear the lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is winding low. I'm so lonesome I could cry." That's what they call a yode.
That's exactly right. Thank you. He got that exactly right.
Well, you can't sing, bud.
I thought he did it better than her.
No, that...
What are you trying to say?
He didn't sing it better than her.
Well, like, damn, what I'm saying, that's a yod.
Don't give me this yod stuff. There's no such thing as a yod.
Yes, there is. When you go like that, that's a yod. It's part of the yodel. Go ahead, bud, do it.
I've never seen a night so long when the time goes crawling by. Like that. And then you're supposed to go, I'm so lonesome I could cry. Like that.
Uh-huh, like that.
Well, he's got the essence. Okay? So that's what I was saying. Now, Hank Williams Jr. is going to do what Hank Williams Jr. is going to do. But that guy lost his job on Monday Night Football, or whatever the hell it's called. Nobody watches it anymore anyway, because he made that Hitler comment. And I think it disgraced his father. That's all I'm saying. And it was a song that I liked.
Well, do you want him to be back on Monday Night Football?
I don't care. I don't think anybody cares. I think Hank Williams Jr. has worn out his welcome. I think he wore his welcome out about 5 years ago. I think the best thing that ever happened to Monday Night Football was that Yahoo opening his mouth.
All right. Ted, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Phil. Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. That's it, right there. I just did it. That sounds too blue to fly.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we go anywhere, everywhere, anywhere that we can, everywhere that we can, to bring you things other talk shows wouldn't dare bring you. And we get there. I mean, it's scary, and I don't necessarily like the feel, but hey, somebody's got to do it, man. Someone's got to break that... break down that membrane into the fifth dimension.
What do you mean membrane?
Yeah, it sounds like somebody's having a baby. Well, maybe we are, man. I don't know. Don Mixa is going to be joining us this hour. Mr. Mixa, as you know, is a professor at the University of Washington. He's going to be talking about Amanda Knox. And Amanda Knox's return to the United States and what she can possibly be looking toward or looking forward to. Amanda Knox, as you know, was acquitted in a murder case, very celebrated, if you will, a celebrated murder case. I shouldn't call it that because that sounds grotesque, if you want my honest opinion, a celebrated murder case. But that's really what it was. It was very much in the news, and it was very much a part of the reportage that was happening over the last few years. It was something that, you know, these cases, whether they're in the United States or whether they are in Europe, these cases definitely capture people's imagination, and we all have a...
What are you doing anyway, man? You're just talking, looking for something.
I'm looking for the foghorn, okay? Take it easy. Don't tell people what I'm doing. They think I'm talking to them. Well, I am talking to you, folks. I'm...
Yeah, but you're all, like, looking down, looking for something and everything. And, you know,
shut up. Let me just do what I'm doing, okay? I was looking for the fog freaking horn. All right, anyway, we're going to get on the line here before we get into anything else. Rudy Canoza, who's going to talk with us about the Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore romantic story and the lack thereof. And right now, Rudy's at his store on Ventura Boulevard. It is Je T'aime Lingerie, a women's apparel store, and very sexy women's apparel can be had there at Je T'aime Lingerie. We want to bring Rudy on and welcome you to the show, Rudy, and thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Phil, and good evening to all of your listeners.
And, Rudy, I would just give people a little background on you. You're from Argentina.
Yes.
And you've owned a business here in the United States for how long?
We opened Je T'aime Lingerie, probably opened Je T'aime Lingerie in the spring of 2004, and we have been here...
In the spring of...
2004.
In 2004.
Yes, and we've been here... almost a consecutive month stayed open since 2004, and we've had a good success with our store here. And because whether or not there is a recession, whether or not you have a bad economy, women want to still look beautiful and to feel beautiful And we've had a good, and we have a good success because we have respect for women, and we know what women enjoy. So we are trying very much to hold on for just a minute, Phil.
That's I heard that foghorn I was talking about.
Yeah, keep that. I got a guy on the radio. And
that foghorn is what?
Yeah, foghorn is it is a way for myself and for my staff to be alerted to the fact that we're going to happen over, to open up some changing rooms, to make sure that while we are able to accommodate all the women who want to come in and to shop in our lingerie store, that they are also that we afford them the opportunity with the apparel that will accommodate them.
I understand it, but the women themselves, are they larger in size?
They're a little bit larger in size, and so we have to make sure that we don't, that we have to make sure in changing room five, we have to make sure that we have that apparel. And the reason why we've done that, Phil, is because we've had apparel come back damaged, sometimes through a buy apparel. That they stretched stuff out of shape or something.
And when I hear that foghorn that went off a couple times here while we're talking, I think I heard it again. What does that mean?
That is just alerting our staff that we are going to need to open up these change rooms, that we've got women that are coming in of larger size than perhaps normal. And we've got a very, very good flow of business tonight, Phil, because there are two big functions going on in the Los Angeles area. Will begin the social season. There's a big event at the Riviera Country Club, and there's, I think there's going to also be an event at the Kodak Theater. And so that's what we're doing.
I'm hearing that horn going off an awful lot. So that means that you've got women who are plus size or whatever you would call them that are coming into the shop looking for, you know, there it is again.
Yeah, there are women who are plus size who are coming in, and they're going to, if... we need to make sure that we have clothes there, lingerie they can try on. And you know what? I tell you something, Stevie. You can ease it back a little bit. You can ease that back a little bit. Don't. He's hitting, and that is the job that he has. So we make sure that he lets our sales staff know that we've got plus size women coming in.
All right. So you just told him to ease it back, huh?
I told him he can take a break. You know, take a break with that, will you, Eddie? Stevie, take a break with that, please. Are you listening to Please Take a Break?
Are there that many women coming in that are what you would call plus size? Or?
Well, there are a lot of women coming in. They are very non-traditional. Every woman is non-traditional. There's no... Most women... It's a misconception, of course, to think that women are all built in one way. Of course they're not. Not all women look like in the movies, in the TV. Women are beautiful, and they're different in their beauty, and they're different in their different sizes and hair color and everything. And so I want this to be a celebration of women. And the only reason why we have this sound effect, this foghorn, is to make sure, you know, that we have the that we have the right clothing there.
All right. Here's what we were going to talk to you about was the Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore breakup quite a shock to I think a lot of people. I think a lot of people were enjoying the romance the two of them seem to be having. I don't know. Were they married?
I don't think they were married. I think, I don't know, to be honest with you, Phil. I don't know if they're married or not. But I agree with you. Theirs was a romance that was one that we could look at and we could say, this is love, you know?
Yeah, and I guess it turned out that it wasn't as much love as some people thought it was. It was the situation there. You know, they broke up. Apparently, was he cheating on her? Do you know?
That was what I heard, and how it was that she would put up with that is anyone's guess. But she did, and for me, it was it broke my heart a little bit because I do believe in romance and I do believe in love. We're running out. Hold on, Phil. We're running out of what? So you're gonna have to open up one of the offices. Let them change in there.
What's going on?
We've got a lot of business, but it's not so much a lot of business. We have a lot of plus size. Open up my office. Let them change in my office. I don't know what you want me to... What do you want me to tell you? What do you want me to tell you? You want me to just magically make a changing room appear?
I don't know that.
Let him go into my office. I've got a security camera in my office. You turn the security camera off, Stevie. Turn the security camera off because I've got a camera that's going to show women taking their pants off. Turn it off. Turn the camera off. Don't hit the... Phil, excuse me.
Well, we're on the air, so I need to continue with this conversation.
I understand. Don't hit the foghorn and turn off the camera. And stop it with the foghorn. Stop it with the foghorn. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this chair and I'm going to break it over your head if you don't stop with the foghorn.
I thought you wanted to do it.
Yes, I did want you to do it. But I don't want you to do it anymore. If you do it one more time with that... How'd that feel? Good? I had to knock him out. He's out cold.
What were you talking about?
This guy with the foghorn. I can't take it anymore with the foghorn. So you were talking to me about Ashton. I like to call him Kuchner. And let me tell you why I call him Ashton Kuchner, because I don't like the sound of Kuchner. I respect women too much to engage in... Oh, my God, I thought he woke up. Get him out. He woke up. And
who woke up?
This jackass with the foghorn.
You really knocked that guy out cold.
Yes, I did. And he woke up and his hand came up and he pushed the phone. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. Take him out in the alley. Ashton Kuchner is the name that I use, Phil.
And why is that?
Because I think that the name Kuchner is an offense to women. I think that it sounds, and I will not engage in the normal conversation that takes place about this man's name.
All right, I'm going to take a break here. On the line with me is Rudy Canozas. We talk about, a lot of things. His store, and I don't know who's hitting that foghorn now, but his store and Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore and the lingerie sales that are going on right now there at Je T'aime Lingerie. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Get off that property. I'll kill him. I swear to God, I'll kill him.
Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
What? What are you asking me?
Why do you give... I heard Mr. Ted Bell a moment ago. Why do you give the phone number out? Why are you giving the phone number out on your show? Phil, you there? Phil?
Yeah, I'm here. What?
Why do you give out a phone number? You don't get any phone calls, do you?
Don't worry about whether I... What is it with you guys? Did you consult with Ted Bell?
Oh, I heard what Mr. Bell said, but... I hear this phone number constantly being given out. You give the phone number out all the time, but I'm not talking to anybody.
You know what, man? We'll take the calls as they come in. Don't worry about it, okay?
All right, that's fine. But it's phone number, and it's just... I hear you talking and me talking, but I just want to say, I think that Mr. Bell might have some kind of a point there when he says that you have too many old people who can't make it to the phone. Maybe they are getting injured on their way to the... Back it off with that, will you, okay?
Tell that kid with the foghorn to knock it off.
Hey. Don't tell me my business, my friend. Don't tell me my business.
Then don't tell me my business. Don't tell me my business.
I'm not trying to tell your business, Phil.
Yes, you are trying to tell me my business. Hey, Phil, what's with all the phone numbers you're giving out? I'm not talking to anybody, okay? Don't worry about it, man. We'll figure it out.
I thought that Mr. Bell had a point when he said that you have, you're on radio stations where the people are so old that maybe they get injured on their way to the phone, you know, and to that point, I was...
Maybe they're getting injured on their way to the phone, and maybe that foghorn is going to drive me nuts, okay? So knock it off with the foghorn, and don't tell me about, you know, how old my listeners are.
Do you think it's a possibility, that's all?
Will you leave it alone, man, and we'll talk about your business and the Demi Moore...
Hey, he's getting pissed. Stop it.
He's
getting pissed, so stop it. Don't do it anymore. Demi Moore. Demi Moore.
Oh, boy. Can you move to another area of the store?
You can hear the foghorn everywhere. You can hear the place is jumping, Phil. I've got a lot of business, okay? I'm sorry it's not the same for you. What do you want me to tell you? Anyway, Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher. The reason why I use the name Kutcher.
I know, because Kutcher sounds dirty. Is that it?
Yes, it sounds filthy. And I refuse to disrespect women. And this is one of the reasons why my business is as successful as it is. Because I will not disrespect women by selling them cheap imitations. I will not disrespect women by giving them a lingerie or an item. One of the items, for instance, that we just got in from Miami. One of the items that we just got in from Paris. I will not disrespect a woman by giving to her something to try on that was stretched out of shape by a woman that walked in. And it was no business at all to wear this. She stretched it out of shape. She ruined the stock. I've got almost $3,000 worth of stock that's been ruined by these women. And the reason is because they're not the right, perhaps, kind of body.
And boy, that foghorn, man.
I've got the women are coming in. They are the plus size. What do you want me to say? I don't want to give these women some of my good stock. I don't want to give them the real good stuff that I just got from Paris. I need to give them something that's already been stretched well beyond recognition. And if that is the case...
Would you knock it off with that thing, man, or I'm going to hang up?
Knock it off. No, seriously, yet, though. Yeah, he's a pain. All right.
Yeah, and I heard that comment, too.
Well, what do you want me to say?
All right, so you can't give these fat women, and I'll just call them what they are, fat, because you've been dancing around it here with a foghorn.
I have never called these women fat. Never.
No, but with a foghorn, what do you think the women are going to think? What do you think the women are going to say?
I think the women are going to... I think they're going to appreciate it.
They're going to appreciate that, huh? All right, so you got this foghorn, and the women walk in, and they ask you, what is that foghorn? And you tell them it's for plus-size women so that you don't stretch the stock completely out of whack.
I don't say it that way, but...
But that's it. That's it. So you let your salespeople know, we got a bunch of fat ladies coming in, man. You better show them that plus-size dressing room, and we don't want to give them any of our stuff because they're going to stretch it well beyond recognition. I just heard you say that.
I did say that, yes, but the point that I'm trying to make is that it is out of respect for women, so that if I have a plus-size woman, all right, I give her own items to try on. I'm not going to insult her by giving her something that belongs to the petite woman that she is going to destroy. She's going to destroy that I cannot sell, and she will destroy it. She will destroy it, you see, and I cannot sell it, you see. And so I give her something she can put on. Something that's already been destroyed, something that has been stretched well beyond recognition. And I don't, I understand they're hurtful comments.
Yeah, they're very hurtful comments. And they're things that I think that, women who are quote-unquote plus size are going to find hurtful, especially when you got that foghorn. And I'm glad that you turned it off.
Well, the fact is that we don't have any plus-size women coming in.
Well, even when they start... All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, talking to Rudy Canoza from Je T'aime Lingerie. And what we were discussing was the Ashton Kutcher, or excuse me, Kutcher and Demi Moore split-up. Now, you were going to give us some take on men, how men treat women.
That is right, yes.
All right, now, and I want to hear that, okay. And I also want to hear not only your take on how men should treat women, but also your take on how perhaps this relationship went south, because he's much younger than her, I know that, and perhaps he found himself a younger woman, I don't know. Our number 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. David G. Hall is checking in, though, and I just have to talk to him very quickly. Dave, what's up?
Yeah, well, I was talking to Ms. Gray. She apparently felt that she was not treated fairly on your program. And
as usual.
Well, Phil, I don't want to get into it. She apparently felt she was not treated fairly on your program. She wants to call later and sing this, I'm Lonesome I Could Cry.
I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Yes, I know that song. Who's that? My name is Rudy Canoza.
Oh, Mr. Canoza, this is David G. Hall.
Yes, sir.
She wants to sing this song. She said that she was treated rudely, and that she wants to sing it the way it should be sung.
Well, that's fine, and I gave her a chance to sing it the way it should be sung, and she didn't.
Well, who are you to judge? You know,
who am I to judge? You should have heard it. She was ripping it to pieces. you, all that kind of stuff.
God, what is that?
That's the way she sounded.
Well, that's what she said to me, so she wanted to sing it.
That's fine. She can sing it.
I'm sorry to interrupt you guys. Go right ahead.
Go right ahead. What are you going
to
do?
I'm going to hang out on the phone. I want to make sure that what you're doing is proper because I need to monitor for FCC. That's all.
Why are you hanging out? You called me up about Margaret Gray.
I'm hanging on the phone because you got a guy talking about underwear.
Yeah, apparently for the FCC.
All right, anyway, so we'll get Margaret on.
Yeah, we'll get Margaret on, and I'll be in the background here.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, what?
Go ahead and tell me about your plus-size lingerie.
All right, hold on for a minute. Can you just say women's undergarments? I feel I can't do this.
But David, if you interrupt me, I won't be able to do an interview, okay?
No, I don't want to interrupt you. I'm just saying, can you say women's undergarments?
I would not say women's undergarments, no.
Why not?
Because it's not the way to sell my items.
But we're not here to sell your items. You're doing an interview with Phil about Ashton Kutcher.
I don't call him Kutcher, please. Don't call him Kutcher, please.
What do you call him?
I call him Kutchner.
Why?
Because it's disrespectful to call. Do I got to go through it again with this guy?
David, would you please?
I'm sorry.
Anyway, Phil, the undergarments that we're selling, these are top-notch, very top-notch items. I got all the latest stuff. I got some great stuff that just came in from Paris. If I get some kind of a... there goes another one, so... You get these big ones that come in.
You said big one. I got to interrupt, Phil. I got to interrupt, Phil.
Go ahead.
What's the problem now? What is it with you and big ones? Can't you just say they're... You said plus size a minute ago.
Phil didn't want me to say big one. He said fat.
But we might as well call them what they are. He's got a foghorn going.
Well, I don't mind the foghorn. What bothers me is this guy... What's your name again?
My name is Canoza, and...
You know what? We're out of time now.
What do you mean?
We're out of time with you butting in with, plus size this and everything else. Okay, hold on for a minute. Phil Hendry Show, we'll be right back. Man, oh man, this guy, I'm telling you. Will you knock it off with that?
Knock it off, please, don't.
Phil Hendry. Own exclusive movie replicas built by the original artists at Weta's New Zealand workshop. Now available, replicas of the arc generator and gas projector guns.
It's definitely alien.
Go to wetanz.com. Check out all the District 9 items at wetanz.com. wetanz.com.
Hey, whatever's out here, all right? No more phone numbers are being given out on the... Because there's nobody calling the Phil Hendry Show. Do you know why? Because I think those guys are right. I think the listeners we have, on their way to the phone, they fall down and break a hip. Do not air that phone number, slug. If I hear it one more time, I'm going to cry. There's no reason to give that phone number, slug, out. I can do 3 hours without phone calls. I can do it standing on my head. But I can tell you something else. I'm not going to keep busting my ass night in and night out and night in and night out and night in and night out and have people tell me things like what I just found out, that we're the number one show recorded over at Dar FM, that we are the one of the top shows that... There's a little bit, there's something going on, and it's called, we're getting taken advantage of here. This radio show, we're being taken advantage of. We're not going to let this happen, all right? I am not going to keep putting out and expending energy on this radio show for this marginal environment that I work in, for the marginal benefits that I get, for the marginal interaction we get from the phone callers. I'm not going to keep breaking my ass, all right? I put out more energy on one radio show than 99% of the hosts in the world do in 1 week. Now, that's just the facts. That's not me just talking. That's facts. I put out more energy in one show than 99% of every other host in the world in 1 week. There's more entertainment value in this show, in one show, than 99% of the hosts. Now, we're living in a broadcast environment that somebody's going to have to figure this out and shake it out, because if you think I'm going to sit here and watch what's going on continue to go on, you must be dreaming. If you think I'm going to hear people telling me that people are running over to Dar FM to record my show and listen to Phil Hendry, and I'm sitting here getting everybody else rich for nothing, I'm making more money on the website, like I told you guys, than the radio industry could in its wildest dreams ever make me. That's how bad our industry is. But I'm not going to sit here and break my ass night after night after night after night, creating all kinds of radio theater in a morgue. I mean, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing my show in a funeral parlor. I'm doing my radio show in a mortician's mortician's lab, man. They're draining the blood out of the bodies around here. That's where I'm doing my radio show. My God. The hell do you people think? I'm not talking to you, the audience, now. I'm talking to the overall radio. What the hell do you think is going on, anyway? Don't give me this stuff about being a pro. I know exactly what it is to be a professional. I have been a professional my whole life. I know better than anybody else that has ever owned or run a radio station what a professional is. You don't throw a guy into a snake pit and then say, go ahead and be a professional. Now, I can sit here for another 90 minutes talking to myself and creating all kinds of marvelous radio and doing all these characters and doing all of this fun stuff. I can do that. I can keep doing it. And having all of those fat asses sitting out there, those fat cats sucking on a cigar with their feet up and going, oh, it's that guy, isn't he really talented? I could do that. But you know what? I know what this game is, man. I'm not going to sit here keep putting out night after night after night after night. I might as well just sit here and read the news. Just read the news, okay? Because that's what's happening. You know that? God. I gave an interview with Radio Inc., Ed Ryan at Radio Inc., and I said the following thing. I said, I've never seen an industry that despises its own product the way the radio business does. Hates its own product. Hates it. Now, you can't say these things because these guys that own stations today, you know what? Forget it, man. You know what? Never mind. You know, take two. I'm going to reboot. Reload it?
Yeah, better reload.
We're going to reload. I'm wasting my breath talking about this stuff. Never mind. All right. We'll reload here in 3, 2, and 1. Okay, Rudy, anyway, what I was saying with this foghorn, it's just, I think it's a disrespectful thing. You know that it's disrespectful. There it goes again, because you told the guy to turn it off, and yet it keeps on going.
You look at, I have to listen to this place. This place is jumping. I've got women coming in here. They're using the facilities. They're using the bathrooms. They're using the changing rooms. They're using everything. I've got women I'm sorry, Phil.
You got a lot of fat women coming in, huh?
Yes, we've got a lot of fat women coming in. And these are women that are going to purchase, and they're going to make me a wealthy man, and they're going to do the things that I want them to do to help me. And, this is business, you know, and I'm talking business now.
All right. Talking about Ashton Kutcher, or however you mention it, what are the... You know, here's a guy that he's with an older one. They were married, by the way.
Yes.
Now, here's a guy that I guess was cheating on her or something. What essentially happened that could... What happened in that marriage that they could have prevented?
Well, what happened in the marriage they could have prevented is that he strayed from her. And this is a man that could have done something to keep the love alive in their marriage, you know. As you know, I've often said that there is one way and only one way to attract a woman, and that is to make her feel like a woman, you know. And by that you say, la, 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 la. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. I know that this is some kind of a technique, okay?
Well, I've been doing it now for 15 years.
Allah, la, la, la.
Right, right.
All right. So when you look at a woman and you say to her, Allah, la, 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 you see what I mean? This is, for me, this is the communication. And the communication is...
Well, what does that mean, a la 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 la?
That's something that Ashton Kutcher, Kutcher got.
Kutcher is the name.
Well, it's not my store. It isn't Kutcher. It's something he should have done with this woman and he did not do. That's what I'm trying to say. La 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 la. All right?
All right, Rudy Canosa, I'm sorry to make you cry, man. Rudy Canosa on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back, 877-876-PHIL, right after this.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
For a list of side effects and benefits associated with Esteem, visit EnvoyMedical.com.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Thank you very much, Rudy. Just you can cut off the line to Rudy's place, okay?
Sorry.
He's got all kinds of business. All right, we're going to finish out the show with just we're going to start our news and information hour a little early tonight. It's just freaking dead night. What do you want me to I don't know.
I know what's going on, man.
I don't either, but it's freaking dead. And I apologize for my little, what I was saying. Forget I said it, okay? Forget I said it. It's okay. The kind of radio show that I do is one that necessitates a certain, kind of production ability. And there's a whole lot that goes into it. And tonight it's been a really, really tough night, man. So we're just going to do our news and information hour, and then we will start again tomorrow. Tomorrow, actually, I got to go in and find out about getting that blood test.
What do you got to go in for?
I'm losing weight.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I don't think I even need to go on a diet. I can just probably come in here every night and do this show, and the heartache and the nervous indigestion I get from just doing this, I'll probably be able to lose 100 pounds in 3 months.
Yeah, but then you're going to die.
That might not be such a bad idea either. Anyway, no, tomorrow I got to go in and I have to get that blood test to find out what the hell is going to happen with this, going on this diet.
Yeah, but I got told you were going to eat whey.
Yeah, whey as in W-H-E-Y. Some kind of, I don't know, it's smoothies, that's it. Smoothies.
Nah, man, I know a lot of people try them smoothies. They're not going to work at all. All you do is just, wind up crapping mud.
Oh, will you shut up? It's what the doc is suggesting. So anyway, I got to go in and do that. And then we got a meeting tomorrow. I got two meetings on Friday. American student Amanda Knox was freed by an Italian court on Monday. Nearly all of Knox's criminal charges, including the murder charges, were overturned. All that is, except for Amanda Knox's defamation charge. That count, with its 3-year prison sentence, was upheld. Why? Italy's defamation laws are different than the defamation laws the United States has. In the U.S., defamation is a... Where is this from? Find law? In the U.S., defamation is a civil matter. People sue each other, alleging libel or slander in order to get monetary damages in civil court. Not so in Italy, where defamation can be a criminal charge that carried jail time. That sounds pretty good to me. Anyway, Knox was indicted for criminal defamation that she accused club owner Patrick Lumumba of murdering Meredith Kircher. Lumumba was eventually cleared of all charges after witnesses corroborated his alibi. In Italy, defamation occurs when a person intends to use offensive language to harm another's reputation. It's also classified as a crime against honor. Would Knox's words be considered defamation in America? The required elements for defamation in the United States are... A statement was made, The statement was published to another person. The statement caused injury. And listen to this. The statement was false. False. And the statement was unprivileged. In other words, it was not something that was between two people in confidence. It was made in a rather public way. So if Knox's statements about Lumumba were true, she would have been able to use truth as a defense against the defamation. Or if she had testified about Lumumba during her trial, she may have had immunity for those statements. This story, man, has got nothing whatsoever to do with the case. This was taken out of fine law. I mean, it's a nice little legal point, but I think people want to know, okay, she's innocent, and where's she going to live, and why, and all that other stuff. Now, here's the story that we were talking about earlier with, Ted Bell. Hank Williams. After ESPN dropped Hank Williams Jr. from opening Monday Night Football, after Williams cut... After Hank Williams was dropped by Monday Night Football... after making comments about President Obama, the singer now says he was misunderstood. Yeah, of course. Says ESPN in a statement, while Hank Williams Jr. is not an ESPN employee, we recognize he is closely linked to our company through the opening to Monday Night Football. We are extremely disappointed with his comments, and as a result, have decided to pull the open from tonight's telecast. That was on Monday night. Williams, perhaps best known for this, Are You Ready for Some Football? Blah, blah, blah. Which is really a, that song was getting so tired I was ready to rip my face off. I mean, update it or something. Anyway, he compared this summer's so-called golf summit between Obama and House Speaker John Boehner as one of the biggest political mistakes ever. As Williams put it on Fox News, and Hank Williams Jr. is on Fox News doing political analysis, why? Well, everybody has a right to their opinion, okay. I'm just saying... That had somebody taken care of Mr. Williams, and I'm being serious. If somebody had been a little more concerned with Hank Williams Jr., they would have said to him, "Hank, I love you. You're about as stupid as the day is long. Don't do it, man. Don't go on TV. You're fired." Okay. Nobody going to talk to me like that. I'm going to say I got a freedom of speech. Yeah, you do have freedom of speech. But I'm just telling you, if you go on there and you say what I think you're going to say, you're going to make an ass out of yourself. Somebody ought to tell these people more often. Somebody should have told the Dixie Chicks that. Somebody ought to tell this clown that. And I'm not just talking about country music. All of them. Every one of these dumbasses. Somebody should say to them, look, unless you make your living with the spoken word, not the sung word, but the spoken word, like you're a comic or you're a commentator... you do some kind of live commentating of some kind. Unless you do that, you got to be really careful, man. I would not be on Fox and Friends offering an opinion. But because he's Hank Williams Jr. and he doesn't want to have anybody tell him what to do, he did, and now his ass is grass. As Williams put it on Fox and Friends about the golf summit between Obama and John Boehner, it would be like Hitler playing golf with Benjamin Netanyahu. That means... Hitler would be playing golf with a guy that he would just as soon stick in a gas chamber and kill. When asked on Fox to explain his analogy, Williams said Obama and Vice President Biden are the enemy. Now, this dumbass later said that with his comment about Obama and Boehner playing golf this summer, he was, quote, simply trying to show how stupid it seemed to me, how ludicrous that pairing was. Because you're not smart enough to make any better example? We have to understand how stupid you are, Mr. Williams, and we'll give you the benefit of the doubt like we're listening to a child. Is that what you want us to do? You understand what I'm saying. I don't speak too good. Then why don't you shut up? Williams says Boehner and Obama are polar opposites, and it made no sense. They don't see eye to eye and never will. Well, number one, how the hell do you know? They're playing golf. Number two, Benjamin Netanyahu and Adolf Hitler aren't just polar opposites. It isn't that they just don't see eye to eye. They want to kill each other. Kill each other. You understand that, right? Although ESPN has a policy about its on-air personalities getting involved in politics, Williams has said he's interested in running as a Republican in 2012 for a U.S. Senate seat in Tennessee. Oh, God. Well, you know what? It's America. Anybody can run for anything. That's, if you don't think that, you know what? He'll probably get elected for all I know. I have no idea. And I got no problem with a guy running for whatever the hell he wants to run for. All I'm trying to say is, you know, you got to know what it is you're saying. You know, don't you? I think you do. Starbucks to fund jobs program with donations and incentive bracelets. Starbucks hopes customers will be willing to shell out another $5 when they stop in for their morning cup of joe. Starting November 1st, Starbucks will collect donations of $5 or more from customers to stimulate U.S. job growth through its Jobs for USA program. The Seattle-based coffee chain is collaborating with the Opportunity Finance Network, a nonprofit that works with nearly 200 community development financial institutions to provide loans to small businesses and community groups. Starbucks says, I don't even know what I'm reading.
I don't either, man.
My eyes are glazing over at that one. Gold drops 2%. Here's another thing from Find Law. Here's another thing from Find Me Stuff from actual news sources and not Find Law. Find Law is a legal journal, man. I can't deal with it. Wynn Las Vegas says a group of craps players who won $700,000 in July cheated the system and the resort is suing them.
Yeah, these are stories I love to hear about.
Well, as long as it ain't you or me. According to reports on onlinepoker.net and elsewhere, the upscale casino took notice when Leonardo Fernandez and Veronica Dabul of Argentina won $145,000 on 7 throws of the dice July the 17th. On reviewing surveillance tapes, Wynn accused them and accomplices of dice sliding or holding dice in a position with winning numbers face up and pretending to randomly throw them out against the back of the table, leading to big money wins. The two who had played at Wynn regularly were arrested. Online Poker says, and Nevada Gaming Control Board Enforcement Chief Jerry Barking said, that it's not a common form of cheating because it involves a considerable amount of skill and practice. In the court papers, the two are described as playing at different craps tables as part of different teams, with accomplices attempting to distract casino employees at the table during the alleged slides. That would be difficult because craps, a complicated table game with many possible bets thrown down by many players, is generally well policed by more than one staffer. In the alleged conspiracy to cheat this, by sliding, defendants left Wynn Las Vegas with over $700,000 in losses, according to the lawsuit. Isn't that, that's got to be like a criminal complaint, too. Speaking of Vegas, VegasInc.com says Wynn surveillance tapes show Dabul and Fernandez playing craps from 10:37 p.m. to midnight, with Fernandez sliding the dice at least 7 times without betting, according to the lawsuit. During the same 7 slides in the 2 hour and 15 minute span, Dabul and 2 unidentified men place bets using Dabul's chips. The defendants won $145,000. Well, you're getting your ass sued. World famous Phil Hendry show. Maybe it'll get arrested, too. I don't know. Maybe not.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
In prison, there's more black people. Yes, there are. And that's
basically steals and voyeurism for me.
Across the state, we've traveled today. We have not.
Our children do not have, they are not tethered.
My name is Roger Ebert. I love the Phil Hendry show. And I think Keith Olbermann is a closet homosexual.
Gay as hell.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch on this show and where we go through the looking glass and take you, we take you a lot of places. We go places other talk shows cannot go as we march over top of every dumb ass there is, every dumb ass that wants to pull this country backward, the liberal, the so-called progressive. So-called progressive because they actually believe they're taking this country somewhere. Sure they are. They're taking it a lot of places, man. Mostly to hell. In the words of Lloyd Bonafide. Anyway, welcome to our show this hour. We have Jim Sadler joining us. Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego is going to be talking about atheists, and he's with an organization called Veterans at Heart, VAH, out of San Diego, Veterans at Heart. We're going to find out what that organization is about. Atheists are seeking the role of chaplain in the military. Atheists. And we're going to find out why Dr. Sadler supports this. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Don't forget the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. You can pick up a backstage pass. It's a lot cheaper than a six-pack, way cheaper than that pack of cigarettes that you buy every day. As a matter of fact, the cigarettes you're buying every day, or the beer, or whatever it is going to cost you more money than a backstage pass will cost you for like 6 months, maybe even a year. So check out a backstage pass, and then you're online, and you can see our archives. You can see all of our podcasts, our daily podcasts, our classic Phil podcasts, and, of course, our live streaming video on Phil TV in HD. And I want to direct you to our shop, because the Phil Henry Show T-shirt is in, the brand-new classic Phil Henry Show T-shirt, and I'm wearing on Phil TV in HD right now. I'm looking, if you're looking at the camera, you can see I'm wearing our ball caps that we're going to have for the summertime. These are a beautiful thing. Camera 3 shows you the backside of the ball cap, which, you know, when I say backside, I hope you understand. And
boy, you like, you're going to show something butt or something?
Who's asking you? In any event, head over to philhenryshow.com and check out the shop and all the other things that we have to offer. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Jim Sadler joining us in a moment. In the military, there are more than 3,000 chaplains who minister to the spiritual and emotional needs of active-duty troops, regardless of their faiths. The vast majority are Christian. A few are Jews or Muslims. One is a Buddhist. There is a Hindu chaplain. Possibly even a Wiccan may join their ranks. As a matter of fact, you might be interested to know, at the Air Force Academy, at the Air Force Academy in Colorado, there is a place of worship for Wiccan cadets. Now, strange as it sounds, an atheist chaplain is being proposed by some. Groups representing atheists and secular, so-called secular humanists, are pushing for the appointment of one of their own to the chaplaincy, hoping to give voice to what they say is a large and largely underground population of non-believers in the military. Joining the chaplain corps is part of a broader campaign by atheists to win official acceptance in the military. Such recognition would make it easier for them to raise money and meet on military bases. It would help ensure their chaplains, religious or atheists, would distribute their literature, advertise their events, advocate for them with commanders. And basically, I think what atheists are trying to do is get the same status as gay people, black people. In other words, you watch how insidious this becomes, folks. They're going to begin to compare themselves to gays. Atheists who choose this belief, choose it. They weren't born to it. In fact, if you want to know about what you're born to, what is actually ingrained in the DNA, what is actually, it could be argued, is a part of our very brain chemistry, you could argue that we are actually believers in God. Given the tens of thousands of years the human species has been on this earth, and from the very beginning we believed in the supernatural, from the very beginning. So that a bunch of jive mothers are going to say, oh, all of a sudden I think I've decided that I'm not a believer in God. I think I'm going to decide I'm an atheist. Well, okay, fine. You can decide anything you want. But don't you dare put yourself in the same category as people who were born to an orientation or a color of skin or a gender or a disability or anything like that. And I'm betting money that says that's what they're going to do. Dr. Jim Sadler is going to waltz into the middle of this particular lion cage. And Dr. Sadler, I don't envy you. How are you this evening?
Oh, Phil, so I'm very good, and I think we can agree to disagree on some things. I think I've got some things to say about what you just said.
Now, you're a part of an organization called Veterans at Heart. What is that?
Phil, Veterans at Heart is an organization of men and women who served this country. We were not in uniform. We were not soldiers. But we would have been had we been allowed to be the soldiers that we knew we could be. The fact that I was raised a believer in God, and the fact that there were chaplains that were religious, God-believing chaplains, made me feel that I had to adhere to a certain kind of ethic. And so I couldn't go in the Army. I couldn't go in the Marine Corps. I could not go into the military and serve my country the way I wanted to, which was to go and kill the enemy.
And well, wait a minute. A lot of veterans went and killed the enemy and believed in God.
They believed in God, but their kind of killing, their kind of soldiering, if you will, was based upon a limitation, and that was the limitation was a belief in God. So they couldn't really go into war and be the full, aggressive, non-discriminating, I guess you could say, cold-blooded killer that they could have been. I wanted to be a cold, and I in me is a cold-blooded killer, I feel. But because of the God chaplains, as I call them, there was always going to be a chaplain there telling me, don't, you know, love your fellow man, love your fellow man. Yes, you have to kill the enemy, but love your fellow man. So I could not be the cold-blooded killer that I felt that I could be. Other veterans at heart, other members of VAH feel the same way. That is why we have become very much...
Hold on for a minute, because you've said an awful lot there, and it sounds... I've never heard anything like this before.
What don't you understand?
What I don't understand is you saying that because there were chaplains in the military, you knew that you'd have to answer to a God, and therefore you couldn't go and kill the way you felt you could?
That's essentially true, yes. I don't, why is that so difficult to understand? I think that...
Well, it's not difficult to understand so much as I've never heard anything like that.
Well, I think, Phil, you're coming from a paradigm, and you're coming from a belief system that says... that people who dodged the draft, which I did do, I dodged the Vietnam draft, were people that did not believe in war. I very much believed in war, but I could not go to the Vietnam War and go and, to use very unrestrained language, which I hope you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I couldn't kill the way I knew that I could. And
why do you say you couldn't kill the way... What, are you saying you wanted to violate the Geneva Convention?
No, but I did want to be very aggressive. But when you've got a chaplain there who reminds you that there's a God, you suddenly pull back. At least I would. Other guys, maybe knowing that there's a chaplain who believes in God, maybe they would say, well, it doesn't matter, I'm going to go and kill. But for me... it would have affected me, and that's why I went to Canada. Not because I didn't believe in the Vietnam War.
So you, I'm going to just be clear. You dodged the draft what year?
1970.
Was that your, so that was your first year in college?
Well, I was reported for induction draft to the draft board. I reported in August. I turned 18 in August. I was classified 1A. I was then in the draft, the initial draft lottery the second draft lottery for 1970, which was in the month of, November, December. My number came up 4, and so...
But number 4, you were going.
I knew that I was going, and I wanted to go, but I realized they had God chaplains, and so I wouldn't be able to be the killer that I wanted to be. Now...
All right, I'm going to interrupt you here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have with us Dr. Jim Sadler, who's a man who said he dodged the draft not because he didn't believe in the Vietnam War, but because they had chaplains who would constantly remind him of the existence of God, and therefore you couldn't be the killer you knew you could be.
Yeah, so you asked me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right, but I mean, the way you said that, is you're saying that as if you think I'm crazy.
No, I've not used that word, sir.
Well, I heard the way you said it, and you said it very slowly. You went, you didn't think that you could be, so you think I'm an idiot. And
no, I didn't say that at all, but I'm having a difficult time, and now this veteran's at heart. Are you calling yourself a veteran?
Yes, I'm calling myself a veteran at heart. A veteran at heart.
You went to Canada. You dodged the draft.
I was not a draft dodger because I didn't believe in the Vietnam War. I was a draft dodger because they wouldn't let me kill the way I wanted to.
You know, you could talk to 1,000 veterans of the Vietnam War, and I bet you they would assure you that you would have been able to kill the way you wanted to had you been drafted or otherwise inducted into the Army or any branch of the service that you wanted to join. And what, I don't know what kind of killing you wanted to do.
I did not want to be constrained by a belief in God. And that's the part you're missing, Mr. Henry. That's the part that either you're missing on purpose because you're trying to, piss me off.
No, but you're giving a lot of cowardly excuses, sir. I don't even know that I believe that you went to Canada because you believed in the Vietnam War. It sounds like a very fancy way of saying I was against the Vietnam War, but I don't want to say that.
No, that is not true. Why would I start an organization called Veterans at Heart?
What? And this Veterans at Heart, so that means you would have been a veteran.
No, we are veterans. We're veterans at heart. We believed in the Vietnam War, but we could not go to war because of chaplains that believed in God. And those chaplains would keep reminding us of a God, and we would not be able to go out and kill, just butcher up the, I wanted to go and kill a lot of, I wanted to go and kill a lot of gooks.
All right, I don't want to hear that, okay? We have a lot of listeners that might be Asian descent.
Well, that's what I wanted to do, and I couldn't because of the God chaplain. Now with an atheist chaplain, understand, Mr. Henry, this is going to give the United States military many more recruits, because with an atheist chaplain, they won't have to worry about God standing there wagging a finger at them. There's going to be an atheist chaplain that will remind them that there's no God, and they can go out and just chop the enemy in half. Just kill, 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 kill. And you just keep saying the word kill for, a lot of time.
All right, 877.
Well, the pause, okay, I noted the pause.
All right, so the pause is I'm having a hard time believing what I'm hearing. 877-876-7445 is the Phil Henry Show with a guy who claims he's a member of a group called Veterans at Heart. These are guys that would have gone to Vietnam had there not been chaplains. The chaplains, believing in God, would have reminded them that there is a God, and they wouldn't have been able to kill the enemy the way they wanted to. But with atheist chaplains, they won't have to worry about that. I think the guy's a draft dodger. He admits to being a draft dodger. He says that it wasn't because he was against the war, though. I think that's offensive to vets, and this guy's coming up with some fancy thing. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and with me is Jim Sadler, and Dr. Sadler is with the Veterans at Heart. By the way, you're a doctor of what?
I'm a doctor of psychology.
Doctor of psychology. Do you hear? All right, so you're listening to yourself, sir. And,
Mr. Henry, you're not a doctor of psychology.
No. But do you hear any rationalization going on here? All right, let me just say this.
No, I don't feel that I'm rationalizing anything, and I don't think that it's right of you to bring this up in that manner as a veteran at heart.
And all right, right there, the veteran at heart thing. You're not really a veteran. You're not really a veteran. You're not a combat veteran. You are a guy you claim would have been a veteran.
I would have been a veteran. I wanted to fight for my country. And if there'd been an atheist chaplain, and I would not have had to be reminded about God, I would have fought for my country, and I would have killed the enemy in the way that I knew that I could. Because we didn't have atheist chaplains, okay?
And all right, what if there were atheist chaplains right now in the military?
If there are atheist chaplains right now in the military?
Right now in the military, would you join up? Would you go fight in Afghanistan?
I'm too old,
All right, but let's say you were young enough and you could go. Would you join up?
I would join up. It is a different war. It's a trick question, sir, because, number one, I have bad skin. I've got bad lungs. I can't fight in a war in a desert. I was perfect for a jungle, But I wanted to fight what makes me patriotic, and I wanted to fight for atheism. And that's not unpatriotic.
No, I asked you a question. If there were atheist chaplains, would you join now?
I would join now.
Then you would go and fight.
I would want to, but I wouldn't be able to because of eczema and because of my asthma.
And why did you not have asthma and eczema as a young man?
It was a jungle environment, so there was moisture. Well,
you know, I'm hearing a lot of excuses here.
No, you're not hearing excuses. I'm a veteran who didn't.
You're not a veteran, sir. You're not a veteran. 877-876-7445. Let's go to a phone call. Dwayne in Meridian, Mississippi. Go ahead, Dwayne. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
My outlook on this is simple. I mean, especially the questions you just asked. I mean, it's plain and simple. A draft dodger is all this is. I mean, you can point blank ask him a question, and he started 100 excuses of why he still wouldn't go. I mean, it doesn't make a difference.
No, sir. I would go. I would fight against Afghanistan.
Okay. Then why don't you go?
I would go, but they would tell me to go home because of my eczema. Okay, and you call me a draft dodger, that, you know, to every veteran, that's a terrible thing.
And you're not a veteran.
Yes, a veteran at heart, if you would mind calling me a veteran at heart.
All right, you're not a veteran, you're a veteran at heart?
I'm a veteran at heart. And as a veteran at heart, I wanted to go to war. Because of the God chaplain.
No, I know why you didn't go to war. You went to Canada a lot. Did you hang out with draft dodgers up there?
Did I hang out with? What is that supposed to mean?
What, sir, during the Vietnam War, there were Americans that went to Canada who were dodging the draft. Did you know any up there?
Of course I did. It was impossible not to be a young person.
All right. Were you hanging out with those people?
When you say hanging out, are you talking about? What are you talking about? Did I have my zipper down?
No, I'm not talking about that.
Well, if you would mind being a little more specific.
I never made any. I said hanging out as in, were you socializing?
There was nobody else to talk to. The only other people to talk to were Canadians, and they don't share your bag. So, yes, I did.
So there you were in Canada, dodging the draft, talking to a lot of people that didn't want to fight. And you say that you wanted to fight, it's just for the fact that they had God chaplains and you couldn't kill enough. I wonder what those people would have thought about that. Here is David in Houston, Texas. Go ahead, David. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
They had no problem with it.
I doubt it.
Phil, this guy is a draft-dodging coward. He clearly avoided the war. I mean, there's not any... You don't have to speak to any chaplains if you don't want to speak to the chaplains. This guy, he's a loon.
No, but because there were chaplains,
on your show.
Because there were chaplains, they were God. You know this chaplain. And there's talk of God. And if there was talk of God, then I have to think about being punished by God, and I would not be able to go and slaughter, you know. I don't know if you know anything about it, but...
Well, what do you know about it?
I could have slaughtered the enemy, except I had to believe in God.
Listen, I'm a veteran, and nobody was going to stop.
What?
You know,
a veteran of what? The Boy Scouts? What do you mean a veteran?
Oh, wow.
Well, how old are you?
Me? I'm 40.
40. You almost wanted to
40.
Say something else, didn't you?
No, I was in Desert Storm, and I was in Somalia, sir.
Let's give this man the respect to believe him.
Well, you want me to believe him, and he sounds like he's 10. And meanwhile, I'm taking it up to you-know-what. God, I'm on your program.
All right, listen, thank you very much, David, and thank you for your service to our country. We'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show.
What about my service? I did not serve.
I'm not going to give you any veteran status. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show with Jim Stafford.
Phil Henry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With me is Dr. Jim Sadler, and Dr. Sadler is calling from San Diego. He is a doctor of psychology, but more to the point, he is a man who is advocating atheists in the chaplain service in the military. And that is, these would be men and these would be women who are atheist chaplains who can minister to or advise. I don't even know, how does that work?
How does what work?
How does an atheist chaplain work, and what does that mean?
It means you can speak to this chaplain who's an atheist, and you can get advice from an individual who's not going to be relying on religious text.
Is it the same as having a psychologist?
It's not the same as having a well.
So why would you need a chaplain if you got a psychologist?
Because the chaplain goes and talks. You know, Mr. Henry, I'm here to simply say, I don't want to get sidetracked by, I'm an atheist, all right?
I'm just wondering how an atheist works as a chaplain as opposed to just going to talk to a psychologist.
I'm an atheist, and had I not been, I was kept from being a soldier by religion. I was kept from being a soldier by Christian religion. And
what about Jewish religion?
Well, I mean, what you're trying to do now is piss me off, you know. And
you know, for a psychologist, you talk not very intelligently, sir. And
no, you're trying to piss me off by saying, what about a Jew? What about a Hindu? What about? I'm saying that my... Boy, oh boy. I'm saying, Mr. Henry...
No, I know what you're saying, that if there had not been Christian chaplains or Jewish chaplains, that there wouldn't have been any emphasis on God, and you would have been able to kill the enemy much more freely. I think you said kill, slaughter them. I think you used the word slaughter. And instead, you were not able to do that, so you dodged the draft and you went to Canada. And you want me to believe that's because you love this country and wanted to fight for it, not because you didn't want to fight for it.
Not only do I want you to believe that, I demand that you believe it because it's the truth. And it's the truth. And if there are atheist chaplains, then I would have gone to war and I would have slaughtered up. You can say what you want. I would have butchered more Vietnamese. And that's why we are an organization, Veterans at Heart, where we know we know what we would have done and we know how we would have fought.
Yeah, uh-huh. All right.
What does yeah, uh-huh mean?
Because I think it's easy to say, sir. 877-876-PHIL. And as far as being a veteran goes, there are real veterans out there who I think would be hard-pressed not to be offended a little bit. Jason, you're on the Phil Henry Show, and Jason's calling from Fort Knox, Kentucky. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I have a couple of comments for the doctor here. First of all, being that my father served three tours in Vietnam, he stood up and he fought for his country, and I myself deployed to Iraq with 4th Infantry Division, 122nd Infantry, out of Fort Hood in March of 08 to March of 09, and we were visited regularly by chaplains, and you can either believe in God or not believe in God, and you can also serve your country at the same time. I know that you say that you're an atheist. I myself am an agnostic, so I don't subscribe to any one religion, but that has nothing to do with stepping up when your country asks you to fight for it and do what needs to be done. Freedom is not free, sir. You're nothing but a coward, and you ran to Canada to get out from going and fighting.
Wait a second. I was an atheist. Wait, are you telling me I believed in God, and when you believe in God, don't you not want to kill? Yeah.
What?
It has nothing to do with whether you believe in God or not. You can still serve your country. You said at the time you believed in God. Well, if you read the Bible, the Bible says, what did Jesus say? Render unto Caesar's that which is his, and render unto God that is his as well. You can serve God and you can serve your country at the same time.
All right. Well, I didn't have that understanding, and so I was hung up by it. And I'll tell you.
Well,
had there been an atheist chaplain, I would not be hung up by the whole God thing. I could go in. Look at you. You're an agnostic. I would have gone in
and just killed me a lot. There's no such thing as an atheist chaplain. Chaplains are holy men. There's no such thing as an atheist chaplain. Chaplains aren't even allowed to carry weapons, even in combat zones.
So, sir, you're telling me that the New York Times article written by James Dale about atheists seeking a role in the military...
Atheists may be seeking a role in the military, but to be a chaplain is an asinine idea. I told you, What is an atheist going to counsel, an atheist chaplain going to counsel a soldier that a psychologist wouldn't? It sounds to me like they want more psychologists, you know.
Exactly, well, no, Bill. And we had access to both of those, even in country in Iraq. We had access to psychologists, and we had access to chaplains. And you could go to see other. It's not the chaplain didn't burst in your door and make you listen to whatever he said. It was your choice to go see him when he came to your FOB or your COP or whatever and talk to you. You didn't have to go see him. But that has nothing to do. Yeah, COP. A Coalition Outpost is what it stands for. Coalition Outpost. But
have you heard of our group, Veterans at Heart?
Hey, I don't want you bringing that up with a real
There's
soldier.
There's no such thing
mind.
As veteran at heart. If you didn't stand up and serve your country, you're not a veteran. You ran to Canada to get out of fighting.
No,
and,
I did
oh,
not.
As far as also, wait a minute,
oh,
wait a
God.
Minute. Your little excuses about your eczema and your asthma, okay, first of all, our company commander, he deployed to Iraq. He had psoriasis to the point where he had to have injections of medication in order to keep it under control. And me and several other of my battle buddies, we all had asthma, and we had our medications there with us in Iraq, 130 degrees, sandstorms reaching 3 miles into the air, and we still did our duty.
Well, wait a minute. Your commander had isn't that bad breath?
No.
Psoriasis.
That's psoriasis, not halitosis.
Psoriasis is a skin disorder where your immune system produces an overabundance of skin cells, which causes flaky, scabby skin on the top. And it itches, and it cracks, and it bleeds. It's very bad.
Yeah.
And he had
eczema is like shingles. I had shingles.
Okay.
Right, listen, are you listening to what this man is saying?
You take your cream with you, and you go fight for your country.
Take my cream?
Yeah, the cream that you use to treat your eczema. My son has eczema. He's 2 years old. We put a cream on it. It goes away.
You know, sir, with all due respect, you have answers that make me look like an ass at every turn. And I wonder if you're a plant by Mr. Hendry.
I look like the ass. I wasn't the cowardly ass that ran to Canada to get out of fighting for his country. I volunteered.
No, this man, I don't know this man.
I volunteered to serve my country in a time of need and to go fight our enemies abroad. You ran away.
I wanted to serve our country, but they wouldn't let me because God reminded me that I can't.
They wouldn't let you. Yeah, just like my dad wanted to serve his country. They let him.
But I believe in... Well, wait a minute.
What, all these guys believe in God, and they went to Vietnam, and they went to Iraq, and they went to these places, and they killed the enemy. And as this gentleman said, the Bible, for everyone, the Bible has an answer, and the Bible has a way to approach a problem. And for this gentleman, the quote about Jesus saying, render unto Caesar, is his way of viewing Jesus' words.
Well, to me, I hear them say, turn your cheek. Great. So I go to Vietnam and I turn my cheek. Guess what?
But it doesn't matter. You're trying to distract everyone with these asinine excuses of why you couldn't go. Okay, I have asthma myself, and I can tell you that it always is worse when you're in a very humidified area. The desert's not very humidified. Your problem would have been even worse.
It would have been better. In Vietnam, it would have been worse.
Wait a minute. I believe that I have even worse skin than your son. So
right now,
you know
right now,
man,
the
you
only problem that I can
excuses.
See is that you are a coward and you have... You have a problem with a lot of poop coming out of your mouth.
I'm allergic to dust.
You're allergic to dust, you're allergic to air, you're allergic to peanuts.
Yeah, you've got a lot of excuses, you know.
That's what you are. You're allergic to fighting.
I would have killed Vietnam. They would have given me the Congressional Medal of Honor had I been...
You know what? I'm going to stop you right there. Thank you very much. Good call, sir.
Bring up the Congressional Medal of Honor? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no kidding.
That is the highest award given to soldiers that fight for their country.
I would have had been too guilty believing in God to kill the gook. And
don't use that word. You're a civilian living in a country now that is filled with Asian Americans. I don't want to hear that word.
You call them the enemy.
No, but wasn't that...
No, not you. You weren't a soldier.
I'm a veteran at heart.
You are not a veteran.
Thank you, sir, for your call. Very good call, and thank you for serving our country, sir. 877-876-7445.
Why don't you thank me? And I guess you won't thank me for serving the country because you don't think I'm a veteran. But why do you kiss? Why do you put your lips right on the hind end of these guys?
Because these guys actually went to war and risked their lives. And as we've often said, a veteran is a guy that writes a check that's good for an amount up to and including his or her life in service to this country. And so they deserve respect. And you didn't go. A veteran at heart.
I told you I was allergic to dust. And
allergic to dust. So if you're allergic to dust, what has Vietnam got to do with it?
But I had, Mr. Henry, you have disrespected every veteran at heart that's listening to the program tonight. And there was a lot of men out there and women that would have been happy to go to Vietnam or to Iraq or to Afghanistan and to just, man, like if you've ever seen a flamethrower, I would have loved to have had one of them. And then you would have seen some real killing. But I didn't...
No, I wouldn't have seen no killing. You were in Canada, and that's where you were going to stay, whether you were a veteran at heart, whether you had eczema, whether you had dry skin, whether you were allergic to dust, or whether you had halitosis. Ain't that bad breath. 877-876-7445. Here is Mike in Texas. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I just don't understand why he's saying he's an atheist. An atheist, a true atheist, believes in what he can do as an individual. If he was
right
with covering up, that he's just a coward at heart and he didn't want to go fight with his fellow countrymen, just admit it. Quit making all these excuses.
I will not admit to something that I am saying. If I'm a, all right, I was a, yeah, okay, I was a scared. Wasn't you a scared?
If you're not scared, then there's something wrong with you. You just,
exactly.
You're not an atheist.
Exactly.
And you're hiding behind religion. You're hiding behind everything. I served 21 years as a full-blooded atheist. I never went to a chaplain once. I never went to one service. I believed in what my abilities would do and my training, just like every other soldier did. I went out there. I did my job. I did what I was supposed to do. And you are just a coward. That's all it is. And you're not even an atheist.
What about, okay, you say you're an atheist?
Yes.
You weren't, what about God saying, okay, that's why you were a good soldier, because you were an atheist.
Well, why didn't you join up? You were an atheist.
No, I believed in God at the time.
Then why
well, if you're an atheist? Yeah, if you're an atheist now, you can join.
Not until they get atheist chaplains, because the God chaplain keeps reminding you of God.
This gentleman was an atheist for 21 years, served his country, and it never bugged him. Did you, you just didn't go to, were there chaplains running around telling you to believe in God?
What they was never going forced on there anything with the on me. It's always,
so you didn't have to go to service.
Service. It's all volunteer military. It's not volunteer service. They don't force nothing on you. If you don't want to go, you don't have to go. You're just,
yeah, but you knew they were there.
Scared. If you're scared, they're scared. If you're not a man enough to stand up for what you believe in and go do the right thing, don't hide behind everybody else.
I do believe in being a patriot. I do believe in carving up the enemy a new one. And, God, I wish I could have done that. But they wouldn't let me.
No, you wouldn't let you. You wouldn't let you. The country would have let you.
No, because God would have reminded me of what a war criminal I was.
You're full of crap. You know that? God ain't going to remind you of nothing. And what is this allergic to dust? When did that happen?
When did it happen? It happened when I was a kid.
Oh, I see. So now you can't go to Iraq because you're allergic to dust. You didn't mention anything about dust.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. If I didn't, I talked about my asthma, right?
Yeah, your asthma, your eczema.
You're a hypochondriac. You're a hypochondriac, and you make excuses every time you turn around. There's no excuse for it.
You're disgracing every American...
veteran in the United States.
You're disgracing all atheists by not sticking up for a fellow atheist. And
he doesn't even believe you're an atheist. I don't either. Mike, thank you very much. Great call.
You're welcome.
21 years in the United States military for that gentleman as an atheist, and he didn't have to worry about chaplains running around and telling him there's a God, and you better watch out, you better not carve the enemy a new one, or whatever the hell it was you're talking about. Good God. Is the draft-dodging guest that we have here with us, Dr. Jim Sadler, really a veteran, as he claims, or is he really a coward, using atheism as an excuse? Our number is 877-876-7445. Next hour, the News and Information Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And we'll be back with that. And don't forget our souvenir shop there, our merchandise store, I should say, at PhilHenryShow.com. That's PhilHenryShow.com. Get a backstage pass.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And if you're looking at our stream, our live stream on Phil TV and HD, we've got our Phil Hendry Show mug. And it says there, in your Easter bonnet with Phil Hendry's mug on it. That's our coffee mug. Go and pick one of those up. It's a beauty. And we also have, as I mentioned, our brand spanking new Phil Hendry Show, all-purpose, wear-anywhere colors, a T-shirt to be exact, and we've got it in sizes up to triple X. Check it out at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. On the line with me is Dr. Jim Sadler as we continue this discussion, and you heard what I said, sir. Draft dodging by any other name, you know, is still draft dodging.
Well, I think it takes quite a pair of you-know-what, Mr. Hendry, to call me a draft dodger when I've loved my country. And,
you know, you don't love your country when you come up with cornball excuses. You can say, you know,
this is not an excuse. This is, I want to kill the enemy in ways that you would not even imagine, but I couldn't because of the God chaplain. And that is my, and
no, when you say, well, I'd go to Afghanistan, I'd go to Iraq, but I've got a dust allergy. And I have a
asthma. Ask anybody with asthma.
And I just talked to a young man who's a soldier there. You heard him saying he had asthma. He brought his asthma medication with him, and he was able to function quite normally. Here is Issa in Indianapolis on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to listen, comment on some of the gentleman's accusations that I hear him talking about, that he's a veteran at heart, and I have a hard time accepting that. Myself being a veteran, I too have asthma, and I went to the Desert Storm. I went to Somalia, and I served my country with gladness. And I actually was in a platoon with three atheists, and they were there fighting side by side with me. That's one point. Another point that I would like to make is that just because you go into the military, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to pick up a weapon and fire it. You have support staff. You have you can deliver water. You can be a medic. You can do all kinds of other ways to serve your country. So, sir, I have a hard time.
But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to kill the enemy. I wanted to kill the enemy, but I couldn't because they kept throwing God at me every turn.
That you just heard veterans saying that they, God.
If you listen to you saying that you believe in God, then now you're saying that you don't believe in God. Is it really necessary? Are you really saying that you don't believe in God? Because by having the perception of God, you already know what God is about. Is it that you just don't accept God? You don't sound like a psychologist, sir.
I am a psychologist, but I have been warped by my experience in Veterans at Heart, because we get together once a week and talk about how we would have been great soldiers, but we got damaged.
You're a veteran at heart. I mean, a veteran at heart. You're not a veteran. You know, if you're saying you're a veteran at heart, by you not being a veteran and by you being a draft dodger, you have no heart.
Wait a minute. Wait just a second. Had I been allowed to serve, and that is, God, had I been allowed to...
You were allowed to serve. You just didn't choose to serve because God was with the chaplains, and that would have reminded you of God, and you couldn't butcher up a whole bunch of Vietnamese like you wanted to.
I never said...
Yeah, you did. You said you would have been hell on wheels, man, with that flamethrower. Didn't you say that?
Yeah, I would have.
If it wasn't for the fact that there's God. Now you're an atheist. Now what's hanging you up?
Because they still got chaplains. If they had atheist chaplains... forget it.
Yeah, forget it is right. And this Veterans at Heart thing, man, run this by me one more time. You guys sit around on a Friday night and do what?
I didn't say Friday night. Well, now you got a guy laughing. Now the guy's laughing at me. I hope you feel good, Mr. Hendry, because I came on your program trying to get respect for Veterans at Heart.
Well, no, now you guys sit around on whatever night it is, and what do you do?
And we talk about how we would have kicked ass.
You talk about how you would have kicked ass, but you didn't.
No, and we got to sit there and play cards. You don't laugh at that? That's pretty pathetic.
So why don't you talk to a bunch of veterans and thank them for the way they went over and kicked ass. You would have
because
been
because it reminds me because I wanted to do that.
You know what? Go back to your child psychology practice or your
animal behavior,
whatever.
Animal behavior? What a shock.